Well, this kind of worked out really well for me. Some of you, I'll explain that later. Some of you got a good opportunity during our Pie and Praise service to give your testimony. I did not get to give mine because I was with Scotty running around the auditorium making sure you had a microphone. And one of the things I always like to do when I get an opportunity is to praise the Lord for all He's done in our life. That picture, by the way, in case you're looking at that, that is my high school picture. That's me. That's not, some of you are going, no, it's not. Yes, it is. That really is me in high school, of course, the current picture also. But it's amazing what the Lord's done over all the years. Some of you may not know, but I was saved when I was 16 years old, about a month before that picture was taken. And the Lord has done so many things in my life that I'm almost amazed at the direction my life has taken. I was raised in rural South Carolina. Some of you probably know the area. If you've ever been to Myrtle Beach, you're right in my area. I was born and raised in Marion, South Carolina, which is between Florence and Myrtle Beach. Later moved to Florence and graduated from the West Florence High School, home of the West Florence Fighting Knights. You may not know this. When I was in high school, I was a horrible student. Didn't study at all. Didn't care. Could care less about grades or anything. As long as I passed, that's all I really cared about. I figured this was back in the early 70s. I figured that I was going to graduate from high school anyway and go off to Vietnam. And so, what difference does it make if I was a good student? As long as I got out of high school. Some of you also probably know already that the Vietnam War officially ended somewhere 72, 73, and then started pulling out in 73, 74. I graduated in 1974 and didn't end up going into the military. I've mentioned this before, I had decided I wanted to be a Marine. I have no idea why nowadays. I'm a little smarter nowadays, and I'm like, what were you thinking? My goal was to join the Marine Corps, become a drill instructor in the Marine Corps, and I thought that would be it. I just want to, I look back and I think of all the things God saved me from. I have no idea. It was several years later. In fact, about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I got the opportunity to visit Vietnam with our missionary, Jack Woodring. Some of you may remember Jack. He's no longer a missionary with us. But he was one of our missionaries back then. And I got the opportunity to visit not only Vietnam, but I got the opportunity to visit several places in Vietnam where battles took place. The Chu Chi tunnels and stuff like that, where you see, the guys going down in the tunnels underground. And I got to see where the guys come up out of the ground and surprise you. They actually did that to us in the jungle. I was walking through the jungle and a guy just came up out of the ground with a rifle in his hand just to show the tourists how funny that was. Wasn't that funny? Like to pass out when he did it. I mean, it just was right in front of me, and all I could think was, oh boy, this would have been me in high school. You think about that, what God's done and how He's changed our lives. I want to give you just a quick testimony. In fact, I titled the message, My Testimony, in three words. I'm just going to emphasize three different words tonight. Very simple message, very straightforward message, but a very truthful message. The first word I want to emphasize is the simple word, go. Just go. When I was a Christian, when I was a young man, I was not a Christian. I was not saved. I was raised in a good family, but not necessarily a Christian family. Anytime I say that, I always have to explain it because my mom and dad are watching, and my mom's very careful about, don't you let them people think we was a bunch of heathens running around, you know, sacrificing babies or something. And we weren't like that. It was a good Southern family. My dad and mom were honest, hardworking people. But we were not Christians. We were not also atheists. My grandmother, every now and then, would convince us to go to church. We visited churches off and on. We visited a Baptist church or a Nazarene church or my grandmother's Pentecostal Holiness church. But we never went to church on a regular basis, never was faithful in any kind of church service. I mean, we'd have times where we'd go to church maybe three or four times in a 4 or 5 month period, and we thought that was very faithful. I guess a lot of people in America feel that way. But never really attended church faithfully, I never really heard the gospel until I was 16 years old, when I got kind of, in a sense, tricked into going to church. That story will bore you a little bit. Some of you have heard it. I won't go into long detail in it. But a youth pastor was visiting our neighborhood, the short version, happened to stop in front of our house just by accident, pulled his car over to look at the visitation cards he had. And while he was looking at that, he heard some noise, looked up at our house. My brother and three or four of his friends were in the carport underneath the what you would call the garage, but open carport. And they were standing there talking and having a good time. And he saw them. He's a youth pastor. And so he thought, I'll go invite those kids to church. He was quite surprised when he got up and talked to them. They didn't want to talk to him. And they thought they were tough and bad. And so they were making fun of him and they were having a great time at his expense. I was in the house and I heard his voice out in the carport talking. And I thought, what is going on? So I walked out to talk to find out what's going on. He started talking to me. Long story short, he invited me to church. I tried to get out of it. Couldn't figure out a way to get out of it. I decided I would go, but I really wouldn't go. I'd just tell him I'll go. And then he'll leave. I can't tell you the rest of that story. It would take too long. But that next morning, I went to church for the first time in a fundamental Baptist church. I'll never forget that Sunday. It was the strangest Sunday in my life. I still remember going. I still remember sitting there. I remember walking in. I mean, just like it was yesterday. I remember walking in the back of that church. At that time, it was the Florence Baptist Temple. It was a smaller church at that time, ran about 350 people. I say smaller, a little smaller than our church. Runs about 2,000 now. But it was a smaller church back then. And I was immediately struck with the truth that these people are different. You ever just feel like you're in a different crowd than your crowd? You know, this is different. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. But I could just tell you, just walking the building, that people were extremely friendly, very nice to me. And I kept thinking, these people don't even know me. They don't know who I am. Why are they being so nice? Went to the youth department. The kids, for the most part, most of the kids were very friendly and open. And went to the service. And I'll never forget sitting in the service. I sat on that side of the auditorium about midway back with some people who had invited me. And during the invitation, I got up out of my seat and I walked down the aisle just like you're supposed to do. The pastor had said, if you don't know for sure you're saved, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, you can find that out tonight. By the way, that's the same true here at Faith Baptist Church. If you don't know for sure you're saved, if you don't know for sure you'll go to heaven when you die, let me encourage you, when I finish this message, we'll have another invitation, and you'll have an opportunity to walk down that aisle and let somebody show you from a Bible how you can be saved. Well, I walked down that aisle, and I remember standing there talking to my youth pastor, and he said, well, let me get somebody to show you a Bible. I went to a back room, somebody took a Bible and showed me how to be saved. And everything, literally, everything in my life changed. And it was such a drastic change that my parents, my friends, my relatives, all were worried about me. You know what my family thought? You'll like this. My family was worried I had joined a cult. They were like, what is wrong with him? Something went wrong in his brain. Because here was a kid who didn't go to church. Now, you won't believe this, but I was a very quiet, a very introverted kind of kid. I didn't talk much to people. I'd sit in a room and never say a word unless you talked to me. And then it was like a one-word answer. You know, I was one of those kids. It's like, yes, sir. No, sir. That's about it you could get out of me. And all of a sudden, I started going to church on a regular basis. Well, what happened was this. I had a youth pastor that was a lot like Pastor Scotty. And I'll pat you on the back, Pastor Scotty. I appreciate the work you've done here, not just to all the kids, but in particular with the lives of my grandchildren. And I believe that youth pastors are vitally important. It was a vitally important role in my life, and it's been a vitally important role in the lives of my grandchildren. Well, my youth pastor decided the day that I got saved that he would disciple me. And you know when he started that? Right after the Sunday morning service that I got saved. I went back to the little room, got saved, walked back up, understood the gospel clearly. And my youth pastor talked to me and he said, are you sure you're saved? And I said, yes, I am. He said, that's wonderful. And he had brought me to church, so he was going to take me home. We got in the car. And on the way home, he said this. He said, it's wonderful you got saved. I cannot wait to see you get baptized tonight. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? He said, I cannot wait to see you get baptized tonight. And I go, I'm not, what? I don't even know what that means. So he pulled the car over. He took out his Bible. He explained to me what baptism meant. It's a picture of your salvation. It's a public profession of the testimony you made in Christ. And then he asked me this question. He said, you really did get saved this morning, didn't you? Yes, sir. He said, do you understand what Christ did for you? And I go, yeah. I said, the fellow who talked to Mr. Johnson, I said, he explained to me that Christ came, that God loved me so much that he sent Christ to die in my place, that Christ took my place on the cross, and that if I'd accept that by faith and his payment price, that I could go to heaven. He said, you did understand the gospel. He said, do you understand what baptism means? And I said, well, from what you're saying, it is telling everybody else what I believe. And he goes, yeah, don't you think you should do that? And I couldn't figure out a way out of it. And I was like, yeah. And he said, well, then you'll be baptized tonight. I'll make sure Pastor knows that. And I was kind of like, okay. And I got baptized that Sunday night. I hadn't planned to come to church that Sunday night, by the way, because I had planned to go to a movie. I can even tell you the name of the movie. I won't, because I'm embarrassed to say I was going to that movie. But I had planned to go to that movie that night, and instead of going to this R-rated movie, I ended up in church getting baptized. And I still remember my youth pastor picked me up for church that night. I got baptized, made that public profession, and I was like, wow, I felt pretty good. I was like, you know what? This is awesome. I am glad. I said, I can't wait till next Sunday. That Sunday night, youth pastor took me home, and on the way home, he said, I am so glad to see you saved and baptized. He said, you are really going to love Wednesday night service. Now, I know you're going to think, when I finish this story, you're going to think I'm making this up. This is exactly how it happened. And I said, what? He said, Wednesday night, we have a Bible study on Wednesday night. He said, Wednesday night is typically a time where we take time to open God's Word and we study the Word. And you get really detailed information. He said, do you know everything there is to know about the Bible? Well, I had never, honestly, believe it or not, up at 16 years of age, I had never opened a Bible and read it for myself. I had heard people read it. I had been in church. But had I picked one up and read it? No. And he said, don't you want to know more about the Bible? And while I was thinking, he could see I was kind of debating how to get out of this. And he said, I thought you really got saved. And I said, well, I did. And he said, you know, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible is simply saying, you don't forsake the house of God. If the doors are open, you should be there and you should be in church. He said this, you should go to church every time the doors are open. And that was the theme of the next month of my life. I went to church that Wednesday night. I learned more about the Bible. Rob Thorne, my youth pastor, took me home Wednesday night and said, I'll see you tomorrow night. To which I said, I didn't even argue anymore. Why waste my time? I said, okay, what are we doing tomorrow night? He said, tomorrow night is our visitation night. We visit teenagers and adults who have visited our church, and we go out and we tell them the gospel, just like we told you on Sunday. Are you glad we told you? And I said, amen, I'm glad you told me. He said, don't you think other people need to know? I was so dumb, I said, yes. He said, don't you think other people need to know that? And I said, yes, other people need to know that. And he said, I'll see you tomorrow night. And I said, okay. After visitation on Thursday night, my youth pastor took me home and he said, I'll see you tomorrow night. And I'm like, tomorrow night is Friday. And he goes, I know. Don't you remember Sunday morning in the youth department we talked about our Friday night activity? And I go, yeah, I wanted to go to that. He goes, that's tomorrow night. Should I pick you up? And I just thought, yeah, why don't I just move into your house? It'll be a lot easier. Now this is not an exaggeration. I went to Sunday morning church. I went to Sunday night church. I went to Wednesday night church. I went to Thursday night visitation. I went to the Friday activity. I went to Saturday morning bus visitation, the first week I was saved. And the next Sunday morning, I was in Sunday school. And I've been doing that now for 48 years. And I want you to know something. There's a lot of things that I could have done. I went to Bible college like a lot of people. I went to Bible college for 3 years, but I got a better education in 48 years of church. And I don't know how many times I've told people all the time how important it is for them to go to church. If the doors are... Now, you're probably sitting here thinking, why are you teaching, why are you saying this to us? Because a lot of you that are here tonight won't be here Wednesday night. And a lot of people who are listening right there aren't here tonight and wouldn't be here. I cannot tell you how vital importance of you being in church. It is the greatest education you will ever get. I talk to counselees all the time, and I usually make a rule when I'm talking to counselees. There's a standard I usually go by. If on the initial visit, maybe not so much, but after that, if I'm going to continue to counsel you, you have to go to church. And you have to come to this church. This church pays me, takes care of me. I don't charge you for counseling. You come to my counseling. You come to church. The best counseling you're going to get is a regular Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church, Sunday night church, and Wednesday night. You have no idea what you're missing when you don't come to church. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Some of you are here tonight, and I'm pretty sure this is true. Some of you are here tonight who were not in this auditorium on Wednesday night. and you missed a good service. In fact, I've got pastor's outline here. I was looking at that earlier in my office. Pastor Monty preached a message. He was talking about Satan and demonic battle plan and those kind of things. And he was answering one specific question. And that was the question, where does disease come from and where does sickness come from? And it was a great sermon. Listen to this. Point number one, God is in ultimate control of everything. Number two, God sometimes allows us to face demonic attack in the form of illness and disease. Number three, sickness and disease have several possible sources. And he went through those sources, whether it's natural, biological, whether it's God, whether it's Satan. And then he said this, how do you tell the difference if it's satanic, if it's natural, if it's biological? And he explained all that. And how do you properly respond to illnesses? There's a lot of people just heard what I just said and said, boy, I wish I'd have heard that. Exactly my point. Exactly my point. You never know what you miss when you skip church. I tell you, when we were growing up, my children were growing up, I made it a standard in our home that we are going to attend church faithfully. That was just, nobody asked me. I never went on vacation with my two kids, and we did that a lot as they got older. When they were about 12 or 13, we started doing what we call real vacations. You know, where you go somewhere. We had vacations before, but we couldn't afford real vacations. So we would go, well, my real vacations are very cheap. We spent a lot of time in the Gatlinburg, Pigeon Forge area in the Smoky Mountains. You say, isn't that an expensive area? Not the way we did it. The only thing we paid for was a hotel, and every day we went hiking. In fact, if you want to go hiking in the Smoky Mountains, you probably need to talk to me. I have hiked every major trail and most minor trails in the Smoky Mountains. And I can tell you, if you want to see a waterfall, where to go. If you want a really fantastic view, if you want a nice climb, if you want a hard climb, I can tell you, I've done it all. We would take backpacks, and we would take our lunches, and we would eat that way. Very cheap vacation, but we started taking vacations. And I want you to know this. Of all the years doing that, and all the years now doing it with my kids and my grandkids, nobody asked me on Sunday morning. I've never heard a grandkid or a child ask me, hey, granddaddy, hey, dad, it's Sunday morning. Are we going to church? That shouldn't be a question any of your children ever have to ask you or should ask you. It should just be the standard. Forsake not the assembling of yourself. Don't abandon, don't leave, don't ignore the assembling of yourself together. That's a biblical principle. Acts chapter 42 in the beginning of the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued daily, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, one thing I see in our society today that I think is very sad, I see a lot of churches saying, you know, we need more time with the family, and so we're going to cancel Wednesday night services. Or we're going to cancel Sunday night services. Now, let me just tell you something. Let me tell you where I stand on this silly little issue. This is not a silly issue to me. There's no question in my mind that evil men and seducers shall react worse and worse. There's no question in my mind that not only is the American society, but the world in general is getting worse and worse and leaning more towards the satanic side and leaning more away from God than ever before. Would you agree with that? I think everybody in the auditorium, everybody listening online would agree with that. That is an absolute biblical truth. That's going to happen. It's not going to get better. It's going to continue to get worse. And if things are getting worse, Maybe I'm crazy. I don't think we need less church. I think we need more church. And if your church doesn't have a church service on Tuesday or Monday, that doesn't mean you can't read the Bible with your wife and your children on Monday and Tuesday yourself. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I remember going to church one night, when I started going faithfully during my senior year, I had a little motorcycle, a little Suzuki 185 dirt bike, and I would ride that back and forth to church. And one Sunday night, it wouldn't crank. I couldn't get that silly thing to go. And I asked my dad, and I said, Dad, will you take me to church? And, you know, when your parents aren't saved and, you know, you interrupt their Sunday afternoon, he wasn't happy about the whole thing. It was kind of like, sure. I mean, what are you going to tell your son? I won't take you to church. But my dad, it said he's a good man. Even though he wasn't saved at the time, he's a good man. And he said, okay. And I'll never forget this conversation we had as we got in the truck and we started driving to church. It wasn't that far away, about 10 minutes away. And on the way to the church, my dad looked over at me and he said this. He said, son, I'm a little worried about you. And I was like, what's wrong? Why are you worried about me? I think, actually, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I quit running with the wrong crowd. I quit cursing. I'm showing you more respect than I've ever done. And I'm going to church on a regular basis. And you're worried about me? He said this. He said, I'm worried about you because of this church thing. And I said, well, I don't understand. What? He said, you, that's all you do. That's all you do. You go to church. You go on Sunday. You go on Wednesday. You go on Thursday. He said, almost every day of the week, you go to church. And he said, I'm really worried. And my dad said this. He said, I'm really worried that those people are brainwashing you. The perfect answer, some of you have heard my answer to that. I didn't have the answer at the day. I thought about it many years later. The perfect answer would have been this. Dad, they are brainwashing me, but my brain needed to be washed. The way I thought, the way I lived life, it needed to all change. And I learned all about that, not in Bible college. I learned about that first, sitting in the pew like where you sit right now. Don't skip church. Don't think it's not important. You need Wednesday night. You need Sunday morning. You need to be in a Sunday school class, and you need to be studying with that class the Word of God. Right now in our Sunday school class, we're going through the book of 1 Timothy. And I think in two Sundays so far, I've covered verse 1, 2, and 3. That's about as far as I can get because there's so much material there. And there's so much stuff. And people tell me after Sunday school, a lot of times they'll say, well, I didn't even know that was there. That's the whole point. That's the whole idea, that you go to Sunday, what's the next word? School. That you're learning something. Which brings me to my next point. The first word I'd have you know tonight, and my personal testimony is go. I've never gone to a church, well, I can't say I've never gone to a church service that I thought, well, I wish I hadn't went to that. There have been a couple of those. You know, we visited a lot of churches on vacation. There have been times, Becky and I visited a church. I'll just say Northern Indiana. Becky's looking at me like, don't you say this. I visited a church in Northern Indiana. We were on vacation, and we decided one Sunday morning, we looked up this church, had a really good ad in the phone book, back when we used phone books? You guys remember those? They're big, thick things but we looked up and had a nice ad, and it, Fundamental Baptist Church, you know, Bible preaching church, and I thought, wow, this is great. And we got up early in the morning because we were going home, but we stopped at this church, and we went in, and there was one person standing there. And I thought, it's a big, big building. And I thought, wow, that's weird. And I thought, well, it'll fill up. And the Sunday school filled up. And that Sunday morning, we went to Sunday school. We were visiting churches, too. And in Sunday school, what, about 10, 15 people at the most? I may be exaggerating. It may not have been that much. But it was the strangest, oddest service. I was like, oh, boy. I'm not even going to go into all that this preacher went into, but the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, I need to leave. You ever feel cultic? It felt cultic. And I was like, okay, how am I going to do this? So as Sunday school ended and the worship service, I will admit I missed service that worship service that morning because we made it to the doorway before the pastor caught us. And he said, oh, are you guys leaving? Yes, we need to get home. Actually, what I want to say is we need to get out of here. But I've also visited a lot of churches that are wonderful churches and heard some unbelievable sermons from some unbelievable men of God. You really need to do that. If you're on vacation, let me encourage you to do that. So go. But that brings me to my next thing, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. You know the verse. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The first word in my testimony is go. Go, 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 go. Best thing I ever did as a young teenage boy was get in the habit of going to church and going to church every time the doors are open. Let me encourage you to do that. But the next thing I had to do was I had to learn to grow. The more I went, the more I grew. Now, I'd love to tell you that I know everything there is to know about the Bible, but I don't. I went to church for about a year in my senior year. I went to church every time I got an opportunity. And then I felt like the Lord had called me to preach, and I went off to Bible college. And for me, going off to Bible college, when I went off to Bible college, was the right time in my life. Because I was not raised in a Christian home. I had not been faithful in any church. So my Bible knowledge was very limited. You say, well, how is that good going to a Bible college? Wouldn't that make it harder? It made it harder, but here's what happened. In my freshman year, they're teaching some basic classes, right? And the professor would say something, assuming that everybody in the room understood that passage. And he'd make a simple statement, or he'd talk about a word like propitiation. Or he'd talk about the Jews and circumcision. And he'd say, we all understand because they were circumcised. And I'm the guy in a class of 300 men going, what does that mean? What does what mean? What is circumcision? And they'd have to stop the class and explain to the big dummy in the back of the room what that meant. Now, you think that's bad, and I got to the point I didn't care anymore because I just needed to know. And what happened was, because I didn't know anything, there were kids that were there that went to Christian school 12 years, you know, all 12 years of their school life, and the guy's talking, and they're like, yeah. They're not paying attention. I was paying attention. You know why? I didn't know anything. And it was wonderful. I would go back to my room. We'd go back to our dorm room, and we had four guys in a room. This was back in the day where you had bunk beds. And, you know, no phone, no TV, just bunk beds. And all you could do was discuss the Bible or discuss what's going on. And so we would have literal theological. Did you do this theological debates in your dorm room to some degree? And we would have these great theological debates. I learned a lot. And I thought, boy, I really know the Bible now. And then, of course, I got out in the ministry, became a pastor and found out, wow, I don't know much of anything. In the last month, Becky and I have been reading through, you know, the reading program in your devotional. If you follow that program, we just finished the book of Ezekiel yesterday, and I don't know how many times when we were in Ezekiel last month, my wife would ask me, "What does that mean?" And my response was, "I don't know." I do know this about the book of Ezekiel, by the way. I do know that if you read through the book of Ezekiel, you're going to know one thing. You're going to know that He is God. That I am the Lord. That I think that's repeated 68 times in the book of Ezekiel. 100 and some. I looked it up the other day. It's like 160 some times in the Bible. Our Lord said, you shall know that I am the Lord. And as I read through the Old Testament, sometimes I'm reminded how little I do know. There's not a person in here. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much Bible knowledge you think you have that knows it all. Pastor Monty maybe, but he's not here tonight, so I can say that. Nobody in this room knows the entire Bible. We still have a lot to go. Years ago, when I was going through as a youth pastor, it came real popular. Some of you remember this. It was real popular, the little bracelets, WWJD bracelets. Some of you remember those little things. That comes from Innistetz, Sheldon Smith, I think, is the author. What the idea behind the little bracelet is, when you're about to make a decision, when you're about to react or act on a situation, you're supposed to look at that, and it's supposed to remind you to do what Jesus would do. You have to ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? I had a problem with those bracelets, and let me explain to you why I had a problem. I think the idea is good, but there's a problem with that. It's not what you think Jesus would do, it's what would Jesus do. And you can't do what Jesus would do if you don't know this book. You can do what you think Jesus would do, and I get a lot of counseling where that's what I get. Say, well, I think I should know. No, that you may think that, but that's not what the Bible says. What the Bible says is this. Right? And it's not what you think Jesus would do, it's what would Jesus do. You cannot know that if you're not studying the Scripture. I don't know how many times I've thought of this verse, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 say this, that we henceforth be no more children, but speaking the truth in love may grow up. You know how many times in counseling I've just wanted to say to somebody, why don't you grow up? Just grow up. And by that, I don't mean mature as in a worldly kind of way. I mean grow up in Christ. Know what the book says. Some of the simplest truths would change your marriage. Some of the simplest truths would help you to overcome your sinful desires, your sinful habits. The truth is, you don't know the Bible as well as you think you know the Bible. I like it when the Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved. But I ask myself the question, and I've had to ask myself the question a lot. Are you really a student of the Bible? No, I don't mean are you a reader of the Bible. I'm not asking if you come and hear the Bible preached. I'm asking you this question. Are you really a student of this book? Do you really study the book? Reading is wonderful. I think it's wonderful that you, if you're a young Christian, that you take the Bible and you read the Scripture. I suggest you start in the Gospel of John, a passage like that, and just read the Bible. But there comes a point as a mature Christian that you've got to make a change. When I got saved, my youth pastor said this to me. He said, listen, I want you to start reading the Bible. He said, I want you to read in the Gospel of John, and I want you to read in the book of Proverbs, and I want you to read a chapter of Proverbs every day. 31 chapters, 31 days in most months, or 30, you know, some days you'll have to read two chapters. And I started doing that. And I said, what do I do when I don't understand it? He said, here's what I want you to do. When you get to a part that you don't understand, don't worry about that. Read until you find something you do understand and meditate on that. And I did that. I did that for several years. And then I realized something. As I grew spiritually, that had to change. Now I read my Bible until I find something I don't understand. And when I find something I don't understand, that's where I stop and think about it. And I try to figure that out. That's what growth is. Understanding what you didn't understand before. Now, be honest with me. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to answer out loud. But be honest with me. How many of you, I just got through reading Lamentations. How many of you read a book like Lamentations or a book like Ezekiel and say, I don't know what that means, and just keep right on plowing through? Let's be honest. I'm one of those guys. I did it just the last month. But all I you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Hey, dude, that's the book you need to study. So don't be surprised in a few months if I preach again that I say, all right, open your Bible to the book of Ezekiel. Amen? Isn't that what's supposed to happen? I'm supposed to go to church, but I'm supposed to go to church for a reason, not only to worship God. That is the primary reason, to glorify Him and worship Him. But I'm supposed to be growing from that. I'm supposed to be getting something out of it. I don't come to church just to have fellowship. I like fellowship. I like people. I enjoy fellowship. I enjoy our church. I enjoy the services. I like the music. For the most part, I hardly ever hear a song that I don't like. That's, by the way, one other thing we're going to miss is your voice, Allison. Can you just leave her? It's probably not, you know. Anyway. Well, I was going half and half, maybe. But we're going to miss that. And I'm looking. There's a lot of things about church I enjoy. But if I'm not learning anything in church, if I'm not growing spiritually, I need to find another church. And by the way, I'm brave enough to say this. If you're not growing at Faith Baptist Church, you're in the wrong place. It may not be our fault, it may be your fault, but something's wrong. If you don't know more about the Bible today than you did this time last year, something's wrong. I don't know how many times I've studied through the New Testament at 45 years of ministry. It's been a lot. But I have not found myself. I will rewrite. I have these little booklets I write on a certain text, whether that's 1 Timothy or whether that's Philippians or Galatians or one of the books. I will outline the whole book. I'll write a whole thing. I give those out in Sunday school, and I'll end up with 150 pages on the book of Philippians, for instance. And then 10 years later, 15 years later, 20 years later, I'll teach through the book of Philippians, and I'll have 150 pages when I start. And when I finish now, I have 250 pages. What happened? Well, I hope that means I learned something. I hope that means I've grown spiritually. And that's the whole point of you being here. If you're not getting anything out of it, why are you here? You can stay home and be entertained. There's other places you can go for fellowship and music. That's why you're here. Glorify God in your growth, in your spiritual growth. Let this mind, the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Do you think like Him? Or do you still think like you? Walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, Paul told the Colossian church, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you increasing in the knowledge of God? Hey, I'm glad we've got a good pastor who can explain difficult passages of Scripture. Sometimes he gets in the weeds on me. I mean, he goes so far over my head. There have been times I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, that's great. That just means I know he's smarter than me, and I want a pastor who's smarter than me. I don't want a pastor who doesn't know any more than I do. Who needs that? And you don't need a... Well, I better be careful with the Sunday school teachers. I'll get ourselves in trouble. But those two words mean so much to me in my lifetime, in the years that I've been saved. Not only go to church, but grow. But then there's another word you need to make sure you know. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I quoted it a while ago, verse 15, the Iwana verse. Study to... Show. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I go to church, and I hope I grow at church, but I hope if I go to church enough and I grow enough that somebody can see Christ in me. There needs to be something showing from me. We did it backwards in our family, a little backwards. I got saved. I was the first one saved. I have a younger brother and an older sister, and I was the first one to get saved. And when I came home, I tried to invite my parents to church, and at first they were, you know, not interested. But I got my sister, who was married, to go to another church in the town, in our hometown. We were now living in Florence. They were in Marion, South Carolina. There was a new church starting in Marion, a good fundamental Baptist church. And I got my sister to go to that church and kept bugging her and her husband until they went. And believe it or not, the first, second, somewhere early in the time that she went to that church, she got saved. And then it was a long, hard road, because now my dad and my mom were still not saved. My brother was still not saved. And I determined that if I'm going to heaven, they're all going. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I probably bugged them a little too much at first. I probably was a little overzealous. But it wasn't long after that that my mom got sick and had a kidney operation. And I remember going to the hospital one night, and we were talking, and I asked her, could I read the Bible? And she said, yes. And I opened my Bible and I read the gospel. She said, I can read the Bible. Let's start in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Do you know what that means, Mom? Well, it means that we're all sinners. And I just went through the whole plan of salvation. And when I got through, my mom said, that's what you've been talking about all along. And I said, yes. And I said, Mom, you want to get saved? And my mom got saved in the hospital that night. I called my youth pastor and he came up. I hadn't been saved that long. And so I think he was like, did you do it right? So he went through the plan of salvation with my mom, and she accepted Christ. So now my mom is saved and my sister is saved. I went off to Bible college. And in early in my second year, my dad called me, which by then, those days, it wasn't on a cell phone. It was a phone on the hallway, you know, what the kind you dial and have to put money in. Somebody explained that to the younger folks later on. But we didn't have phones in a room. There was one phone on the hall, and that was it. And somebody said, they called me Red back then. Hey, Red, you got a phone call. So I ran down the hallway, and when I got there, it was my dad, which terrified me. Why is my dad, did somebody die? I mean, you know, you don't make those calls. They were expensive back then. That was South Carolina to Missouri. And I remember answering the phone, and I said, Dad, what's wrong? And he said, nothing's wrong. And I said, what's going on? And it got real quiet, and I waited. I said, Dad, what's going on? He said, do you know Dr. Bill Monroe's dad? And I said, yeah. He said, he came to see me today. Dr. Bill Monroe was our pastor. And I was like, yeah. He said, well, Frank and I talked about the Bible. And I don't know if you ever had this happen to you, but I literally could feel my chest shaking, like boom, 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 boom. And I was like, yeah. And he said, well, remember you talked to me about being saved? And I was like, yeah. And my dad said, Brother Frank asked me if I wanted to be saved, and I got saved. And he said, I should call you and tell you. I actually got in trouble at Bible college because I hung up the phone with my dad, and I got so excited. I was running down the hall, and I jumped in the air to swing my fist up. And you remember the drop-in ceiling tiles? I went right through one. I mean, I shattered that baby. And I had to pay for that thing, by the way, which I thought was un-Christ-like. I'm celebrating the joy of the Lord, and you people are making me pay money to replace a ceiling tile. It was several years later. It was many years later. 10-15 years later, my sister called me one night and told me that my brother had gotten saved. So we went, for me, backwards. And I could tell you story after story. I can tell you when my son got saved, and I can tell you when my daughter got saved, and I can tell you where every one of my grandchildren has made a profession of faith, all down to one. We're down to one now. One out of eight, almost there. It's not that she's rejected. She's just too young to understand completely right now. But seven out of eight have accepted Christ, and I'm looking for the same thing for my great-grandchildren. I've had people tell me this all the time, and please stop trying to burst my bubble, will you? Well, Brother Morris, you can't get them all saved. You can't expect all of them to live right. I do. I'm not going to give up on that. I'm going to keep praying for that, and I'm going to keep living for Christ, and I'm going to keep doing everything I can do to bring them to Christ and encourage my grandchildren to make sure they marry the right kind of person, that they bring their children up going to church and growing in Christ and showing forth the truth. I don't know if you understand how important all this is. It seems fairly simple. Three little words, right? Go, grow, and show. But if you do those things, what a wonderful difference it would make in the life of our church. I look at I look at Luke chapter 8, great chapter in the Bible. There's a lot of good stories in Luke chapter 8, but the one I like is the story about the maniac of Gadara. You remember the story, the guy who was literally possessed by devils, screamed, hollered, cut himself, ran around the graveyard naked until he met Christ, and Christ it got rid of the devil. And I like the end of that story. At the end of the story, he asked Jesus, he says, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but can I go with you? Can I be one of your disciples, one of the apostles? And you know what he says to him? He says, no. He said, you go home and you show them what great things God has done. In other words, go live the truth that you just said you believe. And if I could tell you anything at all tonight in this message, I would tell you the same thing. Make sure you're living the truth that you say you believe. Because you won't reach the next generation for Christ if you're not. It's not all about, I go to church, you should get saved. No. It's, I'm trying to live a Christ-like life. If they see Christ in you, they'll be attracted to Him. Maybe not to you, but they'll be attracted to Him. We all need to go. We all need to be faithful in attendance. We all need to grow spiritually. And we all need to show Christ in our life. I've said this 1,000 times in my life. You can't be Christ-like unless you know what Christ is like. Unless you know the book. Let me encourage you. Continue to be faithful in church. Continue to be faithful in your Bible reading. Continue to be faithful in your witnessing. Continue to be faithful in your soul winning. In your own family and in the lives of everybody around you. You've got neighbors. You've got people you've worked with. You've got people all around you who don't know Christ. I know sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's embarrassing and sometimes you feel like you're the only one. But if you feel that way, maybe you are. Maybe you're the only one that they're ever going to hear it from. And if they don't hear it from you, they may not hear it. I'm so thankful. I praise God. If I'd have said anything about that pie and praise service, I would have said this. I praise God that a youth pastor was bold enough to walk up to a group of young men and let them mock him until he found me and invited me to church. Everything changed that day because somebody cared about me. I hope you care about your neighbor and your family and your friends and the people that visit this church. I'm thankful that we have a good church, but I want to have a good, strong, soul-winning church. A church of people who, if you take it all the way back around, I started with go and then I talked about grow and I talked about show. Well, if you take that circle full around, guess what number four would be? Go. Not just go to church. Now you go get them and bring them here. Amen? Let's pray. Our dear Father, Lord, we are so thankful. There's so many people sitting in this auditorium and have so much to be thankful for. Sometime, somewhere, somebody explained the gospel to them and they got saved. I'm so thankful, Lord, that somebody explained the gospel to me and my life completely changed. I'm so thankful for the good churches that I've been in and the men of God that I've sat under and the word of truth that I've heard and the spiritual growth that I've experienced. Lord, I've got so much further to go and so much more to grow. I pray, Lord, you'll help me to live a life that shows forth the true testimony of Christ-likeness. And Lord, I pray for those who sit before me tonight. There may be someone in this auditorium who is just like me back in 1973. They'd heard about Christ. They'd heard about the Bible. But they had no idea what that meant for their life. They don't know for sure they're saved. They don't know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. And I pray, Lord, tonight during this invitation, you'll give them the courage to do what I did that day. Step out of that seat, walk down, let a pastor show them how they can know for sure. And Lord, there's some Christians here that need to get out of their seat. I'm glad they've come to church tonight. But Lord, there's a lot of us who aren't growing. And there's a lot of us who aren't showing the truth in our daily lives. We're walking in the flesh, not in the spirit. And we're not showing the truth of Christ that we say we believe. Help us not to be hypocrites, but to live the truth that we say we believe so that we can reach the next generation for Christ. We may not be able to turn the world around, but Lord, we can turn the world around us around if we'll just live for Him. I pray that you'll help us to do that. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed.